The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
So, maybe after this sermon or homily, you will wish to do to me as they did to Jeremiah last week. Do you remember what happened to Jeremiah last week? Huh? Yeah. You remember, right? Why was he put to the cistern? Because the Lord sent him to preach to the people, and people did not like what he was saying. And so they said, let's put him into death. And so they threw him into a cistern with the rope, and then it was muddy. There was no food, no water, nothing. And so they wanted him to die because he was trying to tell them what the Lord wanted from them. It was not nice. That's why they said, no, this guy is against us. And so that's why, no, I said earlier, I'm sure that all of you remember what I said at the beginning, right? What did I say? No, at the beginning of the Mass, that the Lord is going to punish us. Yeah, and I'm sure that some of you, especially those who know the way I preach, you would have said, how come is he now preaching about the Lord punishing us when he's always saying that the Lord does not punish? And I'm still on the same position. The Lord does not punish us. These are consequences of our own decisions, our own actions. But the scriptures, it is the second reading, St. Paul tells us that he is telling the Hebrews, do not despair when the Lord is disciplining you. Now, this is a better translation, but there are other translations in which it says, do not despair when the Lord punishes you. Now, the word punishing or the word discipline in Greek is paideia, and is used not exactly to refer to a punishment that is given out just because, but is something that is going to teach you, to instruct you, that will give you discipline. So that's why he's saying, do not despair. Why? Because these people were all in despair. They were already it was a community that was confused. They were in trouble. They have so many trials, and they felt themselves abandoned by the Lord. That's why the St. Paul says, no, do not despair. The Lord is trying to instruct you, trying to teach you something. That's why he is allowing these things. Just like a father that wants to discipline their kids. Like, for example, you, Tell me, every time that you want to discipline your kids, is it fun? No. Right? It's not fun. It hurts you whenever you have to spank them. If you do, some of you don't do it anymore. It hurts you when you have to give them a lesson. For example, if a kid spills the milk because he's playing at the table. And so with all the pain in your heart, you have to say, I'm sorry. But you have to learn that in the table we come to eat. And so now you have to clean. And what happens to that kid? He will clean, yes, because he already saw you firm on your decision, but with a sad face. It's not easy to discipline, and it's not easy either to be instructed or to receive that discipline from anybody. It hurts. And that's what's going on with the Hebrews on the second reading. Now, Jesus disciplines us and instructs us in a very, very nice way. I don't know for how many of you read the gospel and the readings daily, the whole week. Do you remember all the instructions that he was given? And I would say it was more of a discipline to the people. I myself was touched. And when I read this reading this for today, I'm like, okay, now I understand what you were trying to do the whole week. Why? Because we have an instance in which Jesus tells the people, why are you not coming with the right garment to the wedding feast? So you know where I'm going. It's summer, and some of us do not come with the right garment to church. I wish it will be winter all the time, so that you will come with your nice coats and everything, and nicely. But imagine coming to Mass with shorts and sandals. Sleeveless. This is the house of God. It might not look like it, but definitely He is there. When you are invited to a party, to a wedding, and sometimes I ask myself, whenever I have funerals, everybody comes with a beautiful dress code. But Sunday Masses, what happened? Then there is another instance in which the Lord is being asked a few questions, and then He makes them realize that it's not about the question that they did to Him, but it's the intention they had on the question. And so sometimes that is also why we cannot receive blessings when we come to Mass, because we do not come with the right intention. Because it's Sunday, and so it's the routine, so okay, let's go. That's why sometimes we come late. Or sometimes we come early, but we are not exactly with the intention that we should have. And what happens? We are chatting and gossiping before the Mass. That's not the intention that we should have. Because we should be preparing ourselves to be disposed in order for us to receive all of these words that come in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. All of the words are important, even the prayer that I do before. That's why I don't like people when they come late, because that the song that they don't know, that the Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, it's very important before we come to Mass. We are asking the Lord to forgive us for all of these venial sins that we committed the whole week. We are submitting our hearts and our lives and our minds towards the hands of God so that He can come to us. And then the prayer before the readings. See, almost everything that the whole readings are talking about is there. Because of you, your people come of one mind and one heart in unity. See? Then there is another instance in which the Lord, this week, He tells us that there is these guys who are working
and then those who are not working, and those who were not hired, and then he chooses to pay them the same, and then some of them will get mad at the Lord. Why? Because why do you pay them the same when they didn't work? See, sometimes we also are like that. We've been here for 25 years, Father. Why these people? But the readings today tells us also that we are called to be one from everywhere, not only from Spartanburg. See? So he is giving us instructions and discipline in order for us to grow in our spiritual life so that we can get there with him. And there is also one instance when he tells us, just like today, it will be better for a camel to go to the eye of the needle than for someone that does not listen to the Lord. Do you know why? Because the kingdom of heaven is a narrow gate. In order for us to pass through that gate, we have to get rid of everything that we are carrying. And so that's what he's trying to do. That's what he is trying to do. But then, we don't want to listen. And so what happens to the reading the gospel today? He says, remember that there are those who are first but will be the last. And there are those who are last that will be the first. Why do you think that he was saying that? In the first reading, we have the prophet Isaiah who is telling us that all the kingdoms and all languages and all nations will gather together, because that's why the Lord came to this world, not only for the Israelites. Because the reason why they asked, Lord, it's only a handful of us who will be saved, is because there was already a discussion going on between them, the Israelites themselves. And we have proof of this. We have on the Mishnah, the writings of the Hebrews, that says that there is this rabbi who says that all of these people who died or who were during the destruction of the flood, they will not be saved, because that's the reason why they were punished. Those who were in Sodom and Gomorrah account, they will not be saved also, because that's why they were punished. And those that the 11 tribes of 10 tribes of Israel who were sent to the exile, they will not be saved, because that's why they were punished. Only the other three. So that's why they were asking that. It's only a handful, meaning to say only these two tribes will be saved. They were trying to put another trap to Jesus, because if he will say yes or no, then what happens after that? Someone was going to get mad at him. See? And so that's why they were asking that question. Not exactly because they wanted to understand. They wanted to make him fall into a mistake. But the Lord, in his loving care for his people, he still tries to instruct them and tell them, why do you ask these things? You already know why I came. You know the scriptures. And you know that I came not only for the people of Israel, but for the whole nations. Yet they were not able to understand. And that's why he says, remember that though there will be those who are first that will be the last. Because they thought that they will be the only ones who will be saved. And because of that presumption, they are putting so many baggages on them. Presumption, arrogance, and then they are not being charitable to these other people that they regard as sinners. And you know what's going to happen when they try to go through the narrow gate? They will go like that and oops. That's what the Lord is trying to tell them. You think that you are the first one, yet you are not even near to it. There is so many who are running the race, but not all of them will have the strength Why? Because in the journey of conversion, we have to go through that discipline and instructions through the Lord that sometimes we think is punishment, but no, it's only the consequences of our own actions. But what happens to your kid if they commit a mistake and if you go to them, it's okay, no problem. Come on. What's going to happen? They will do it again. Right? Ask yourself how many times that happened to you. But when you tell them, hey, come on, see? This is what happens when you do that. They at least think twice to do it again. And so that's what the Lord is doing with us. He is also a father. He is not just a savior. He is a father. And a father has to discipline their kids. Because if not, then that's why we get lost. That's why we have so many families that are broken. So many kids that are out there looking for something that they think that is happiness. Yeah, I keep saying this over and over again. How many kids we have that are thinking to take their life away? Why? Because they have nobody to direct them, nobody to discipline them. There is no presence of parents at home. And that's why they have this feeling inside them. That's what the Lord is doing to us. Because there is nobody to guide them. That's why they think that life is easy. Some of them have parents, but it's like if they don't have it. Because they give everything. And so what happens when we give everything? Father, but I want to give them everything that I never had in my life. Do not give them everything. Teach them what you did not learn. That's what we need. You give them everything, and that's why they do not value these things that we give them. When you teach them how to fish, it's a whole different thing. And that's what happened to many of you. That's why you value what you have. And that's why you cannot... You lose your peace sometimes when you see this society that seems that they don't care about anything. Because we have a throwaway society now. It's all right. So it's broken. Throw it, buy it. As easy as that. And then the sad thing is that it has escalated also to the families, to relationships. It didn't work. It's okay. Throw it and find another one. As easy as that. Because of that, because we are not listening to the instructions and the discipline that the Lord has given us, and definitely it has to come from parents as well. You know, 2015, when Pope Francis was elected, and when he was just recently elected, you know that media wanted to kill him on their comments and all of these articles that they did? Why? Because he said that parents must be firm and strict. That they must discipline their kids. And so the media was saying, how come that Pope Francis is saying that we have to spank our kids? How can the church allow this to the children? Catholics were saying this. And you know what he was doing? He was just quoting, teaching what is on the catechism of the church. That is based on scriptures. That's all he was saying. If you don't believe me, you can go later on and you look at the Catechism of the Church, 22-23. Catechism of the Church, Numbers 22-23. Look for it. And you will see. And it's based on scriptures. You might be thinking, well, but Father, how can we spank our kids? The church has always found the middle ground. Because there is two extremes, always. Before we have the extreme of really hitting children. I remember when my mom used to spank me, that was a little bit too much. But still, I thank her because she did that. But there were also other families who did it way too much. And the church is not allowing that. The church is just telling us you have to be firm and to do what you have to do, but without hurting anybody. You have to do it with prudence and with love and with charity. And so the other extreme is that how can I slap, how can I spank my kids? They are children. They don't understand yet. They will be better as they go along. I tell you, if you don't do it now, you will find it even harder when they are 15 years old. And so that's why the extreme of that now, what happens at schools? You cannot tell anything to a kid because they will start crying and they will call the police. And poor teachers, they don't want even to teach anymore because they may lose their job. And if they call the parents because the kids are not behaving, what do the parents do? Well, teacher, you are not doing what you're supposed to. Whose fault is it? It's the fault of the parents. Because in the first place, we are the first ones who are supposed to teach them how to behave. I will say it again. I told the parishioners or the people, I don't know if they got offended, but I had to say it. I said, if anybody comes and they want to put their children for First Communion, I always ask them, have you been coming to church at least for a year? No, Father, because this and that, because, you know, I used to come before, but then later on, okay, you start coming to Mass first, and then next year we'll get your children into First Communion. But why, Father? He's already 7. So? But Father, because my grandmother is telling me that I have to give him First Communion, I have to baptize him. You know what happens when we do that? We just let them be. We are not teaching anything. You have seen these families who come with their children. When they receive communion, the little ones are like this. Some of them stretch out their hands. And what happens after that? When they go, the parents have to explain to them why they cannot receive. And so that's why they get the desire to receive that cookie, as they call it sometimes. And when they bring it to the First Communion, they already know why they are there. But if they have never seen this, when they bring them to to catechism, you know what happens to the catechism program? It becomes a nursery, a daycare. They don't know what they are doing. Whose fault is it? Father Raphael's fault? The teachers? No. It's the fault of the parents because they never brought them to church. And so that's what the Lord is saying. It might sound very hard when I tell you have to come to Mass before it begins. Not late. You have to dress properly. You have to be silent before the Mass so that you may dispose yourself. You have to receive the right way. You have to go to confession. It might hurt you. But if you really think about it, is it for me? No. It's for your own good. The same way when you talk to your children and you're trying to give them advice and you're trying to make them grow. That's why parents, we have to do what we have to do. Now we have to be very careful. Do not go to any of the extremes. Do not go to the extreme of letting them do whatever they want to because you don't want to hurt them. And do not go to the extreme of holding them like this, that they cannot do anything, because that's not good either. They will not become of the image and likeness of you. They have to become of the image and likeness of Christ. And when we become of the image and likeness of Christ, we have to find ourselves. It's a common mistake I've seen lately. It's either they just let them do whatever they want, or they are so tied to what the parents said that they don't have a life of their own. And that is dangerous. That's why when they go to college and they just lose everything and they want to explore everything, and then we ask ourselves, I taught them everything. Why is this going on? The Lord Himself does not do that. He tells us and He instructs us and He tells us what the consequences of our actions will be, but then He says, it is your decision. He knows that when we give a step to the right, we might fall. And He tells us you will fall, but He does not hold you tight so that you will not go there. He only holds you from the hand and lets you explore after He has told you what's going to happen. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us ask the Lord to give us a heart for us to be formed through the scriptures so that we may also learn how to form and to help other people that are in need, especially those around us. So that through the intercession of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, the Holy Family, we may also allow ourselves to be disciplined and instructed by the Holy Scriptures. Let us now stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus.